Hello, brethren. The lions are hungry. As Joseph, the son of Jacob, did for Pharaoh, so too, after the captivity of 597 BC, Daniel the prophet faithfully served three rulers, three sovereigns of the Medes and the Persians in Babylon. Namely, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Now, Daniel's cream always rose to the top of the government. He made many enemies along the way, but not because he was tyrannical or covetous or possessed of an ego the size of Texas. No, Daniel was faithful to his God, who gave him the high position of trust and the grace of the king, or kings. As a result of the godly nature of Daniel's heart, keeping his God first, came the jealousy of the presidents and princes of the kingdom of Babylon. The root of the word presidents is preside. Thus, it is pronounced in the King's English as presidents, meaning, of course, to preside over, have authority over. We call our guy in the White House a president. And Daniel presided over all who were placed under him by the king. Now, no matter the nature of Daniel's job and duties looking after Babylon, he faithfully prayed for the captives residing in Babylon. He had a great sorrow over them. He would open his window facing Jerusalem and kneel and pray three times a day. And that never came into conflict with his duties toward the king or the kingdom of Babylon. That, by the way, is separation of church and state in its purest form. No compromise. His jealous detractors, however, feverishly looked for a way to put Daniel into disfavor with the king. That king was Darius at the time, or Darius, whatever you want to call it. Since they could not find one sliver of corruption, lies, or disobedience to the king, they sought a perfectly manufactured way to get rid of him. Indeed, they attacked his spirituality and communion with the one true God, with legislation. As it is written in Daniel 6, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Daniel was just too good. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute." Sounds like the Senate. "And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. However, despite the sure sentence of death, Daniel would not forsake his God. Continuing in Daniel 6, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they, and said before the king, That guy Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. It finally struck Darius that he was deceived into delivering Daniel into the hands of his jealous lords and overseers. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, one of those, oh man, what have I done? And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Now the king was stuck. He signed it, didn't realize what it was going to really entail in the end. So he commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. It seems Darius had much faith in Daniel's God, didn't he? Darius loved and respected Daniel, and he was upset with himself for being duped by his court of princes into signing a decree which would condemn Daniel to death. And we all know that God delivered Daniel from those who despicably trapped him. God sent an angel to Daniel, and the angel shut the mouths of the beasts. To the great pleasure of Darius, Daniel was unscathed, and he was released. And what came next? A reckoning. Daniel 6:24. And the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. That's nasty. And the lions had the mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Our Father does not look kindly upon those who seek to exercise their own wills upon his children. Sooner or later, the fire will come down upon those of the contrary spirit. Now or at their ends. Daniel was kept alive. And why? Because God's purpose had not yet been accomplished. And how about today? The lions of hell are just as hungry for the fine morsels of the few repositories of the true Spirit of God through Jesus Christ as they were in Daniel's day. Whether it be the so-called organized church today or the kings and emperors of the past, didn't matter. Two-legged lions, my friends, they're hungry. the love of Christ and his kingship, of the bodily temples of his spirit in the few, threatens the very existence of mad, power-hungry would-be masters of the earth and all of their bloodthirsty and greedy institutions. Yes, the love of Christ in you is a threat to every deceived, deluded liar on the earth. From those who shape the destinies of nations down to the simple man or woman scraping to live through their day. And the multitudes have been devoured by the hungry lions as a result of the decree of a mighty and terrible, loving and sovereign God. So where do you stand, or kneel, saint? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Following Jesus Christ to the Father is a non-denominational calling, a calling of the Holy Spirit of God, beyond the walls and steeples of what we call churches. God's children do not answer the calls of the angels of light, puppet pastors and evangelists, lording over their own patch of decaying, self-centered, covetous, and proud tares. Examine yourselves. Where precisely do you stand, brethren? We don't get religion to get saved. Our destinies are laid out before the foundations of the earth were laid. The children of God do not have religion of any kind. Corporate Christianity as a whole is a religion. Mammon is a religion. Power is a religion. Politics is a religion. Covetousness, greed, and lust are a religion. Rites and rituals of sure death. And as James stated, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All told, the pleasures and allures of this carnal life which you have forsaken is a religion. And if you let it, that old life as a hungry lion will murder your witness and tear your souls to pieces if he can. The war against souls has never let up. On a slightly side note, in the news, we've seen that Europe and Britain have become maelstroms of treachery, delusion, and chaos, and the saints there desperately need the prayers and supplications of all saints right now. That's you, saint. Believers in Scotland and Ireland are being forced into hiding, as it were, threatened with prison or worse, being ratted out by their neighbors and acquaintances for praying at home. And the Pharisees of old and the 10 Roman emperors after, along with our many murderous modern-age dictators and the brainwashed populace at large, as lions they stalk, hungry and relentless, seeking not only to destroy all religion, but more importantly, to destroy Jesus Christ himself. You going to get your guns? Or are you going to hit your knees? Brethren in Christ, as you walk your narrow way and fight the good fight of your faith, that you may find real life at the end, you are being stalked. You are being stalked by hungry lions seeking your goods, your lives, and especially your everlasting souls. Pay no attention to the fools behind the facades of political or religious righteousness. Our righteousnesses remain as filthy rags before our eternal God. Righteousness will not come to this earth until it comes in the person of Jesus Christ himself. And in the meantime, true believers suffer with great joy as Christ to the glory of God the Father. Now, Daniel knew the penalty of disobeying the legislation forbidding prayer to the one true God. Will the petty princes of this world cause you to fear and renounce your faith? You're going to rat out your neighbor falsely just to save your butt? That would mean your utter eternal destruction, period. Think about that. So will you open your windows and fall to your knees and pray without ceasing for those in the body of Christ, your body, your people, under vicious attack by the wolves who have loosed the hungry lions upon the true called out ones who will follow Jesus to their own deaths or imprisonment and subsequent glory for rendering to God that which is God's and never compromising? Hence, I leave that to you. There are no more Daniels or Josephs in the world today. I'd say we need a few more John the Baptizers in the world today. Not afraid to tell it like it is. There are only those in Jesus Christ who will never compromise their communion with the God of their salvation, their ultimate salvation. In the end, there are only members of the mystical body of Christ who pray and supplicate for the other members of this blessed family. Pray for each other, whether you know them or not. They are praying for you, even in the midst of their tribulation. Think about that. You've got a responsibility. You've got to care about your family. Well, I care about my family. No, you don't. No, you don't. Mountains could be moved if the entire body of Christ began to pray together by some moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, I, for one, do not pray for the lords or princes or presidents of this Babylonian system. I, for one, will keep it as simply as Jesus did in his prayer in John 17. I say, love your Father and fear him and never look away from him. Remember the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. Friends, enemies, brothers and sisters, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Those children of God who will survive the sorrows culminating in fire, darkness, carnage, and the fierce indignation and wrath of a holy God may be blessed to see the true end of all this wickedness and witness that the roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. That's Babel. I pray this has been a help and not a hindrance to you, brethren. I pray you, some of you are convicted, heavily convicted. We have to draw closer and closer and closer to our Father through his Christ in our refuges. And I pray that the way might have gotten a little narrower for you. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, and by all means. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I thank you for stopping by. If it wouldn't be too much to ask, I still have a mailing address and I can still read if I get letters letting me know if you're hearing this, where you're hearing this, and if it's worth it to keep it going. You can also send me an email. You don't need to enclose a picture. Just an email. mail@thenarrowway.net. I'd be glad to hear from you. You get your shields of faith up. And do keep to the road with Jesus. And I'll see you again if God is willing and the cricks don't rise.